magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, September 15th, 2025. We're jumping right into a message by Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church as we look at Psalm 124. Here's Pastor Jason.
Today in this passage, in the Psalm 124, it is a song by David. David wrote it. It's a song of ascension. They're walking into the temple, and as they walk into the temple, they're standing before the glory of the Lord. They have passed the city gates. They've walked through into the temple, and they're standing and they're looking at the altar of the temple, and David sings this song. And I want to, before we get to this song, I want to say, why? Why should we sing this song, or why should we, this is the question, why should we remember the faithfulness of God? Why? Like, if you don't ask those kind of questions, you're different than me, because I always ask the question, well, why? And the reason is this, because we still haven't found what we're looking for. There is a quest that every person goes on this earth, and that quest, it's like, it's a problem that all of us have, and it's this is, we look, whether it's money, whether it's entertainment, whatever it is, whether it's a boy or a girl or education or a job, it's family or it's friends, or it's, you look all these places trying to find something that like completes me. Solomon tried it. He wrote it in the book of Ecclesiastes. He says that God has set eternity in the hearts of men and women. What it means is there's something missing inside of us and it needs filled. At the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon was the richest, the wisest dude on the earth at this time. And he literally chased after everything. Like it's a book of debauchery. Like he did everything he possibly could to fill this void, but this void was there. The reason eternity is on your heart, the reason eternity is on my heart is because when I was created in the image of God, what that means is he imprinted God, literally God, the creator of the universe, y'all, he imprinted himself on you. But when sin came into the picture, his hand had to be on it because we were sinful. And with that imprint, the hand is there. We've been searching our whole lives only to be with you. And with Solomon at the end of this book, it's actually a horrible ending. He says, you know what? I've chased religion. I've chased women. I've chased men. I've chased money. I've chased stuff. I've chased things. I've chased education. I've chased healthcare. I've chased politics. And he says it's like chasing after the wind. But the end of his life, he wrote in another book. It's called Proverbs. In chapter 19, he says these words, and these words are wisdom. What a man and what a woman truly desire, what fills us up is unfailing love. Isn't that what we're searching for? You look at culture today, isn't it? Why we can't understand why this guy would go to these lengths to find respect / love, start wars, start chaos in order to have a reason why someone would what? Love him. Why would this sweet girl do anything to keep that boy? Why would this sweet girl who's no longer a young girl, who's already been burned 1,000 times, do it again? Because we want to be loved. This song, the purpose of the why behind this song, will teach us the why. It'll allow us to fill part of that void. You might think, well, that's crazy, Jason. It doesn't mention that anywhere in there. Well, this is why it doesn't mention it. It wants us to remember it. Moms, dads, aunts, uncles, children in the room, which encompasses us all. I want you to know something is one of the reasons why I know I'm loved by God is because I was loved by my parents. This is what I mean is there's a passage in scripture that says to honor your father and mother, thus saith the Lord. We should honor our father and mother. And what that really means is we should be thankful for the things they do. See, in your life, students, in your life, kids, in your life, adults who still have parents on this earth, in your life, when you say thank you, it's a recognition that someone has done something for you. And family, let me tell you what your response should be. It's not always been my response. It'll be my response now because God's teaching me stuff every single day. But this should be the response. When I walk in the house and they say, man, dad, thanks for working so hard. Man, dad, thank you for buying me a puppy. Man, dad, thank you for driving countless hours to get us. Like, man, dad, man, mom, thank you, thank you. This is my now response. Why do you think I do that? Because I love you. The reason we serve, the reason we give is because we love. And I don't ever want my children, I don't want you guys in this room to know, like the reason I get on this stage is because I love him and I love you. Family, today in this passage, you're going to be challenged to remember, but I don't want you to miss this opportunity for you in your life, whether it's with a spouse, with a friend, with a child. When someone says thank you, it gives us the opportunity to instill in them an identity that can't be shook. And it's this, bro, I did it because I love you. Because I don't know about you, if we all knew we were loved, maybe we wouldn't chase stupid so much. Starts this way in the passage. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say. If it had not been the Lord on our side, let Israel say. He's saying, all the people, all the ladies in the front say, hey. Except for he said Israel. And all the ladies were quiet. It's in the ballroom. Hey, they did the chicken dance in here last night. I promise you. It's okay. I just did the chicken dance on stage in church. You see that? Not only do I wear sweatshirt and jeans and boots, I did the chicken dance on stage. That'd get you fired everywhere. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel say. So it's remembering. If God hadn't fought for us, we're hosed. Then it says it again. Why is he saying it twice in the song? Well, why would an author have you say something twice? Because they want you to what? Remember it. And it goes on and says it again. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side when the people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, without God, we got nothing. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, if it not had been the Lord who was on our side, you know why we don't remember? You guys remember in the book of Exodus, I got so tired of talking about one subject. I don't know if you remember it. I remember it. Unleavened bread. Like, I was worn out by all the festivals. I was worn out by all the feasts. Like, every single week for like a year through the book of Exodus, it's like, and they want you to eat unleavened bread. But why is it such a big deal for God? Is he a glory hog? It's like, man, I just, tell me you love me. No, he wants you to tell him you love him so he can look at you and say, because I love you. And what do all of us need so much of? Love. The reason he wants us to thank him is so he can bestow on us, I love you. And if you're not thankful to God, then you probably don't know he loves you. Why do we say it twice? Why do we say it in unity? Because he wants us to remember. You know reasons why I've forgotten in my life, and maybe reasons you've forgotten in your life? It's because this, I look back on a past moment that God saved, God provided, God, whatever, you fill in the line, God did something in your world that was incredible. And the further you get from that moment when you don't remember it, this is what we tend to do. We tend to think the crisis wasn't as bad as we remember. The crisis wasn't as big a deal. Yeah, God saved me, but did he really save me or did it just work out? Was it just coincidence? So we start to diminish what God's done in your life and what God's done in my life. And the second thing that we sometimes do is, or we think that we're a part of the solution. Like we do. We're that arrogant. We really do. Well, God did that, but I did this. Well, who gave you the power to do this? Oh, that's right. It was him. So for me in my life, one thing that remembering what God has done is it allows me to know that the past was that severe and my life was threatened and my soul was in jeopardy. All these different things in my life are part of it. When God showed up, he rescued me from all these things. And the second thing it reminds me of is I'm not the centerpiece of the song. I have taken students on trips all over the world. I have preached to adults for over 25 years of my life. I've spent talking to people and loving people and showing them doing my best to show them who Jesus is. And before those 25 years, I was being prepared for it. And there's one common theme. If someone doesn't keep chasing after Jesus, there's going to be a moment in their life where they question all the Jesus experiences they've had in the past. Did you guys hear that? If you at any point in time you feel called into something, God asks you to do something and you step away and you don't do it, or instead of chasing after Jesus, you chase after self, which all of us have done in our lives. I'm not pointing the finger, but I'm telling you, the longer you do that and the further you get from chasing after Jesus and you spend your life looking at other things versus looking at him, chasing your cravings versus the creator. We talk about that a lot. You're chasing your cravings. What happens is the closer you get to your cravings and the farther you get, the farther you don't pay attention and look at the creator, this is what you're going to think is, well, was it ever real? No, it was real. That night at that conference when you were weeping and God came over you and you gave your life to Christ and in that moment when it was incredible, that was a real moment. Well, I just think I was tired. Man, I've been tired a lot in my life. And that wasn't, when I was tired, wasn't the moment God, come on now. Oh man, there was really cool lights. No, it wasn't cool lights. There's cool lights at a disco, y'all. But we question it, don't we, y'all? That's why we got to remember. In your life, what song do you sing? Do we sing a song of thanksgiving? Do you start your mornings just thanking him? I literally now in my life, what I'm trying to do is wake up in the morning and start thanking him from the first things I remember in my life. Man, thank you for the day I was riding on my bicycle when I was 10 years old by Fairview Park on 10th Avenue Place. And I rolled this corner and I went through this stop sign because I was on my bike. And who stops at stop signs on their bike? You should, by the way. And there was this hedge and I didn't see it. And all of a sudden this 15-passenger van slammed on its brakes. And I remember falling off my bike, never being hit, just falling to my side. I remember the car over the top of me. My bike is crushed and I'm just laying there like this. And in that moment, it's like God just said, bro, I got you. I thanked God for that this week. I hadn't thought about it for 20 years. Spend some time thanking God for the moments in his life he's rescued you. Not just from physical harm, but when he rescued you from the temptation. Then it goes on and says this, when people rose up against us, they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us, like moments in your life when you've been overwhelmed. Then it goes on and says this, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Can you imagine singing this song and thinking about the Israelites coming out? As the Israelites came out, there's a cloud by day, there's a fire by night. They come to the Red Sea. There's an army behind them. And as the army's behind them, the only way they're saved, these brothers, all they had all the possessions and all the things of the people that were chasing them. Imagine having everything that the nation you just left, like you can't even carry all the gold. And you were slaves the day before and you're walking, you come to the Red Sea. You don't know how you're going to cross holding all the gold, holding all the stuff. And there's an army come behind you that wants to kill you. The greatest army in the world. Then God does this. Weep. You think you'd thank him in the moment? Oh, you would thank him in the moment. But 20 years later, if you didn't thank him every day, you'd think, well, I could have swam. Listen, that's what we think. You know nothing about water in this passage? Like, I'm not an artist. You guys know that. I'm like a super not artist person. But you know what I know is true is when I am overwhelmed by anxiety or stress or worry, I can literally feel the pressure on my body. Do you know what it's like to be under the water and or even have just your face above the water and try to breathe? You can't take in a deep breath while you're under what? Water. In your life, do you ever feel like you're drowning? He rescues us from drowning. Then he goes on and says this. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. What do you think he's thinking about David when he wrote prey to their teeth? Let me tell you what he's thinking about. The day he was taking care of his sheep, he's playing on his little harp, singing songs, and I finally found what I'm looking for. You two stole it from David, I heard. And all of a sudden, this massive lion comes rolling up on his sheep. And he's looking around like, well, who's going to do something? God, I need you to protect my sheep. And God's like, bro, go get him. Can you imagine that 14-year-old boy with maybe a little knife on his side that he used to cut stuff away from a sheep that's cutting thorns, tackling that lion and seeing his teeth, holding his throat, boom. See, God rescued him from a lion, but he had to go get it. What do you think he thought when he walked up on Goliath, y'all? Something that no one else could defeat. David was their covenant mediator, an opposition that could not be defeated. And David was their representative. If David would have lost, they would have been slaves. If David wins, they're set free. He is set free from death. That's what it's saying. I was set free from death. David kills the giant, has his brave heart moment. Freedom! And all the people run free. Why did David have confidence? Because David was willing to tackle the lion. Hey, family, what time in your life has God rescued you from the jaws of death? What times in your life has he not rescued the people you want? That's why we feel like we're suffocating. But the truth is he's rescued all of us. How? The cross. Whether in this life or the next, we are free. Then he goes on and says it this way. Then the flood would have swept us away. Then the torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has given us his prey to their teeth. Then it says this, we've escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken. So people, like, that's what it's like. We've escaped from the trap. See, there's two ways that Satan, there's more than two, but there's two ways today I want to talk about that Satan tries to get you, the enemy. When we step onto a football field, into a basketball game, even in a business, when you're selling it, like the reality is, there is someone that's trying to get something from you and you're trying to get something from them. There is an opposition in this world. You with me? The opposition is not just the Duke this week. The opposition is not just whatever's going on television on your favorite team. That's not, that's an opposition. But the reality is, you know what we're going to spend all week doing, getting ready for Duke? Finding out the ways they're going to try to deceive us, trick us, and beat us. And we will know everything we possibly can know about the enemy. Hear me say this. There's an enemy in this world. This enemy wants you dead. He wants to deceive you. He wants to kill you. He wants to take your praise from God, and he wants you to praise yourself. He wants you to praise the people around you. He doesn't want you to praise God because he wants you to keep searching until you're dead to find what you're looking for. But guess what? What you're looking for is unfailing love, and it's only found in the perfect blood of Jesus Christ. And here's the deal. In this passage, it's telling you, what does Satan do? Satan oppresses you. He wants to hold your face down, and he wants to make you lose your identity. He wants your identity to be wrapped up in the things you do. He wants your identity to be wrapped up in the good things, the bad things, the horrible things, the best. He wants your identity to be not in God. So he's going to oppress you and make you say, no, I'm not a child of God. Do you know what else Satan's going to do? He's going to deceive you. How does he deceive you? Well, this is how the deception process works. It tells us in God's word. This is how it works. It says this word that you all and all of us in this room, we have these things called desires, right? Just nod your head. You don't have to list them for me. I know them. I got them too. We have desires in this world. Some are from the Lord and some are ain't. Those desires then give birth to what? Temptation. And in that temptation, you have a choose to act on that desire. You either choose your cravings or you choose the what? The creator. Am I going to choose my cravings? Am I going to choose a bowl of soup like Esau did? Or am I going to choose a blessing from God? Every single moment of every day, we have choices. I'm either going to choose the blessing or I'm going to choose the burden. I'm going to choose the cravings or I'm going to choose the creator. And in those moments, if you choose temptation, so desire gives birth to temptation, temptation gives birth to sin, and sin gives birth to death. Y'all, we've all been caught in traps. I'm caught in traps all the time. I get deceived. But guess what the Lord does? He rescues us from the traps. You know what birds do when they're in a trap? They like flit around. You know what we do when we're caught in a trap? Pretty cool song. What cravings are we enticed for and from, and what freedom do we find? Then it ends this way. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. What song do we sing? You know, this last week I was sick. I didn't feel real well. I had an infection. When I wake up in the morning, I start to be critical of the things around me, critical of the people around me. And that's how I know that I'm in a battle. Because in my nature, I'm actually a pretty happy guy. In my nature, I don't see your weaknesses. I actually see your beauty. I really do. And so when I wake up and I'm showering in the morning after a walk or after a lift, and I get in that shower, if I start to become critical of things around me, this is what I know to be true. I'm taking steps into the basement of my life, and when I'm not thankful, I find myself under oppression. But when I'm thankful, I cannot be oppressed. Where Thanksgiving is present, Thanksgiving is like our offensive weapon against the enemy. When I have a spirit of thanksgiving and I'm recognizing that I'm in the hands of the Creator and He loves me, some of the beauty of pain is? When the pain is gone, you didn't know how much pain you were in, you know how much good you feel when you're done. Last week, preaching a sermon in pain the whole time, I didn't even know how much pain I was in until when? The pain was gone. But guess what? God delivered me from that and He's delivered me in this moment. And it's the same for all of us in this room. So the question is, are we going to sing a song of thanksgiving? Our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. When I say thank you to God, what's He say to me, y'all? I love you. I'll say it one more time. When I say thank you to God, what's He say? I'll say it one more time. We're not talking about me right now, we're talking about us. When we say thank you to God for the opportunities we have in our life, whether the good ones or the hard ones, when we recognize this is a refining process so that we can spend eternity with the one who created us, and every single day, I'm finding more of what I'm looking for. And the more I remove my stupid, the more peace I find in Him. And I say thank you to Him. And the Spirit of God is shook up inside of me. And all of a sudden, the fruit of God is all around me. When we say thank you to Him, what's He say to us? Family, you're loved. The hardest thing for a dad in the world for me. While my kids are on this earth, there's hard things. But if my kids didn't know I loved them, my kids question my love when I wake up every single day wanting them to know one thing for sure. Hey, family, He loves you. So if there's something in your life right now that you're being deceived like a bird, young people, pay attention to me right now. If there's someone in your world that you think that you will find love and somehow that love will fulfill you, let me tell you, marriage isn't Disney. It doesn't fulfill. It's gravy on top of your potatoes. And it's good gravy, y'all. I got good gravy in my house. I'm telling you what. My girl, she's it. She's her, by the way. She's her. But she ain't the potatoes. And if you have to do something to receive that love, young people, that ain't love. That's manipulation. So whether young ladies, I'm talking to you as a 14-year-old, or I'm talking to you as a 94-year-old young lady, the fulfillment you're looking for ain't found in that. Fellas, whether it's love, respect, whatever it is in this world that you're searching for, that you will break down doors for, that you will ignore God's word for, that you'll ignore the people around you for, you spend less time with the people around, like you spend less time with kids, you spend less time with friends, you spend less, just chasing after something. Man, if I could just get this, if I could just have this, if I could just do this, if I could just gain respect, if I could just gain honor, then I'll finally find what I'm looking for. No, listen, no, you won't. What if we woke up every day just being thankful for the beauty that God's given us, and then He can whisper in all of our ears, "Hey, yo, I do this because I love you." We are loved by God. And the more we thank Him, the more we'll realize it.
Amen and amen, listening friend. Maybe the primary reason of you tuning in today is for you to hear that message and be reaffirmed in God's love. Because He loves you, He created you, He has plans and purposes in your life to be realized. But the core, first and foremost, is you understanding the great love He has for you. Because you're in this world, He designed you, and He desires to spend eternity with you. And He showed His unfathomable love by sending the Lord Jesus Christ, His very best, to be our Lord and Savior. You've been hearing a message by Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church as we were looking at Psalm 124 together. And if you have questions about God's love, can you trust the Bible? What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? Why did Jesus sacrifice His life on the cross for our sins? You can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to listen to it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.